Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben, we're getting closer and closer, and fortunately that big Kona low didn't hurt. The Plantation course at Kapalua Century Tournament of Champions coming up real soon. It walloped, okay, just walloped Wailea. We have one course open at Wailea. That is the Emerald course. The gold and the blue are still closed because of the damage done. It should have a name. Just Kona low, you know, that doesn't seem enough. So we're all recovering from that one. We've got a great show for you lined up. It's Seth Pepper, elite mental performance coach, with Mike Darby, professional tour caddy, and recently won with his player. We'll tell you all about it. Ben Vayner, founder T-Commerce, is going to be on the show. Rick Hamilton, independent golf designer, who's returning to the industry after 8-year hiatus. Grutter Girls. Yes, the Grutter Girls. They are working to make sure that women are, as they put it, how four women behind Grutter Golf are fighting the game's intimidation problem and winning. I thought that was adorable. Okay, and then Frank Nabilo, he's going to kick it off for us. CBS Sports golf analyst, on-course reporter, winner of 15 tournaments worldwide, and he is founder of the Nabilo Foundation, a mission to support underprivileged children. Frank's with us right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service. That's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store, and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Frank Nabilo, golf analyst, CBS Sports, winner of 15 tournaments worldwide, two-time President's Cup international team assistant captain, member of New Zealand Golf Hall of Fame, and founder of the Nabilo Foundation. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, thanks. It's nice to chat to you again. We seem to make a yearly habit.
Yes,
The foundation has its Christmas shopping, that's the day I get to talk to you. So I'm ecstatic. Got up at 4:00. It's been a good day.
Well, I was up an hour earlier, 3:00 in the morning, getting ready to talk with you and my guests. But, you know, I was looking at a mission to support underprivileged children in a country with so much wealth. No one should have to struggle, especially children. That's the first sentence that you'll read when you go to the NabiloFoundation.com. Frank, why did you create this?
My wife, I'd love to take more credit, really, but you know, when you play golf for most of your life, I think you get spoiled. My wife actually served on the Tour Wives Committee for a number of years, so they would go to soup kitchens and the like on Mondays and Tuesdays during the course of the week. So I'd hear some of the stories. You know, we're playing these great golf courses and that, and yet 10, 15 minutes down the road, there's soup kitchens. And, I mean, there's a story that it's a little long for the show, but I'll try and shorten it down effectively, where one of the wives gave a person coming in two pieces of chicken rather than one, and the chef basically said, you know, with about an hour to go, we've run out of chicken because you've been giving two pieces rather than one. So that was a real realization of how hard people can have it. You know, I know that's, you know, it's just sort of a snapshot. But so when I stopped playing, she wanted to continue that, try and use some of the leverage some of the contacts that we had,
yeah,
and do it more in our own community. So it's just grown. It's more of a public thing because the money is going back into our community. I don't use other professionals, so that we don't spend money any other way than trying to get it back to the kids. And even the shopping today, sadly, there was only 750 kids. Our goal is normally 1,000. But in order to do that, they're chaperoned, and they're chaperoned by volunteers. A lot of those volunteers are wealthy people that play on our golf day and support, go to our dinners and things like that. So it's very much hands-on, and I'm very proud of it.
Wow. Only 750 kids. Okay.
We wanted 1,000, seriously. Yeah.
No, COVID, I get it.
COVID put the brakes on it. Yeah, it was too hard to try and push them through.
Yeah. Now, what do you do? Like, do you open the doors and set them loose?
No. It's sort of, we had a band theory this year. So the volunteers got a red band and the kids got a blue band. And so what would happen is they line up. There's a couple of schools that we support. Also, there's an SOS program because the foundation's been successful. So we're actually trying to help 5 girls through college. In a small way, and obviously they don't have the funds to graduate. They're extremely good students, so we try and do it in different areas. But to answer your question, we got there at about 5 o'clock this morning. The doors open just after 6. Kids, they just line up. Their parents leave them. They're there, but as they come through the door, they have to sign their sheet, depending on what school they come from. And one of our volunteers, everybody was masked up, will chaperone them through the cart and help spend $100 per child. So you do the math, it's, you know, 75,000 goes pretty quickly.
That's wonderful. This is, now you raised some money to the Nabalo Foundation Lend a Hand Tournament.
Correct, yeah, we had that just about a month ago. So as I said, it's basically an AM-AM, and then we have a function. Normally we have a big dinner and an auction. But because of COVID, you've got to do things a little differently, so you don't raise as much money. But I'm amazed, so even some of the members where I live, which is at Lake Nona, will pay to play on their own golf course purely because they believe in it. And they show up, like I said, for the shopping. But also we draw from businesses, you know, Publix, which, you know, is a great supermarket in this area. They've been with us for day one. Next year we'll celebrate our 20th anniversary, so we're very, very proud.
Wow. Yes. Well, maybe you'll, you know, next year, let's shoot for those 1,000 kids, right? Right. And now, yeah. Congratulations, Outstanding Partner in Education went to the Nabalo Foundation.
Yes, that was, thank you for picking that up. I don't want to like beat our own drum. Yeah. So when you, there's so many, we're a 501(c). There's a lot of people that you would find that in Hawaii, as they're in just about every state in America, a lot of people doing a lot of good work. And often they're overshadowed by the bigger foundations. And for us to be sort of picked out of that, once again, you know, you're just trying to maximize every dollar, and I know everybody else is as well. So I'm not trying to. I think anybody that puts the time in and notices people that are they're a little hard off than themselves deserve recognition. So we're just one of the many, but we're very proud to receive that this year.
It's wonderful. I see in a photo on your website. This is the NabaloFoundation.com website. Outstanding Partner in Education. You're standing next to a young person who looks like they're, you know, wearing your shirt. Do they play golf?
No, we don't push them to play golf. Ah. I mean, golf's an expensive game, sadly. So at the moment, it's bare essentials. We support, there's a school called Sally Ride. As a matter of fact, a very good friend of ours, Sarah Holmes, she passed away last year. Her and my wife did virtual shopping for about 700 kids. And sadly, she was lost a year in cancer. But money was raised, and with that, and rather than donations for flowers, her husband wanted the money donated to the charity. And we're building a friendship bench for the school in her name. So, you know, it's just, you know, we dribs and drabs. We at the moment we don't have the funds to get them to play golf. But if they wanted to, some of the kids, I definitely try and get them on the golf course because I think you learn a lot. You get to play with older people, especially some of the people that support in the golf day. They would gladly chaperone them out and teach them this great game. But
yeah.
The game itself is its own language.
Yes, it certainly is. But it does. I don't know, there's a camaraderie about, I mean, when fathers and sons can play together, and I think you know where I'm going on this one. You know, I mean, I was just 3 seconds of Tiger Woods swinging a golf club was like, he's swinging a golf club, and look how, and then, you know, it looks so good, and I was in shock because we weren't given any information. There were little bits of information that he was doing better, but nothing along this line. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was. You know, I was hopeful that we would see him on the golf course. And to be fair, Daniel, we got to give him a break because he's going to play in a golf cart. And he's doing it for his son, Charlie, which is good. I think he wants to keep the run going because they played last year. So this is sort of out of character for him because normally when he shows up, for example, like Torrey Pines, which is actually where I'll start up next year, he's ready. He's game fit and ready. And, you know, you see the look in that. And he, don't get me wrong, he looked pretty good on the range, but, you know, he's got a right leg that's withered, beaten up, you know, the back surgery. So this is father-son.
Yeah.
It really is. And he's changed over the years for the better. He's, you know, he doesn't owe us anything. I sort of wrote a note, believe it or not, like the biggest story of the year, hoping you were going to go, there was Tiger Woods for a number of reasons. Started off that way with the accident. He's still the most researched golfer there is on Google or whatever search platform you've got. He's you know, number two to Michael Jordan as the athlete that's earned the most money from any sport. You know, he's a superstar, and he's brought so many other people back into the game. He's probably the closest thing we've had since the Bing Crosbys and Hollywood, when Hollywood had such a big impact on the game. Really, you know, Arnold did a little bit and Jack Nicklaus, but really it's taken Tiger Woods to bring so many other people from another area. And now he realizes, you know, hey, at least he survived the accident, but he's also a dad. And I think he's going to have fun this week because I don't think his expectations are high. Everybody's going to love just seeing him on the golf course again because it's going to remind us of a lot of things, to drive a little more carefully, that, hey, you get a second chance and you can come back. But more importantly, if you've got kids, then they're special. So that's what he's going to show us next week. I think it's great.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely. Do you think he should get the whole pot for the Player Impact Program?
Yeah, no doubt, because you know, he's put money in my pocket as a player, in my pocket as an announcer, and everybody playing the tour now, actually worldwide, and male and female, because he's generated interest. He's made golf far more acceptable. You know, I still think in a troubled time. It's such an expensive game, and we're still making it more expensive, even with some of the rules that we've got. So he's made this game desirable, and if it was the same game as that I grew up with, where it didn't cost you $3,000 to get kitted out and join an exclusive club, where, you know, the first club I ever played was a public golf course. Now the land's too valuable in Auckland; they want to rip it down.
Oh.
And because the ball goes so far and all that, they wing it over the fences so it hits cars, so there's lawsuits. But if it was that game with his impact, it'd be just hot property. It'd be like pickleball right now. You know, people, you know, it'd be the fastest growing game.
Yes, yes. The rules are making it more expensive. Could you go into that a little bit deeper?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that, and I'm glad that the respective ruling bodies, that's the USGA and the RNA, have done, is limiting the length of the driver. Now, you know, people will say that's a killjoy. You know, I love it when people hit the ball far. But the one thing I don't like is free distance. And free distance is like just, you know, giving your car another 50 miles an hour. So if you hit the ball further than me, all the better for it. But if you just put a new club in the bag, you know, it's like a bazooka, and you get another 50 yards and I can't afford that club, then I'm not for that. Matter of fact, it was brought up. When I was still with the Golf Channel, I went to a rules seminar at St. Andrews. It was about 5 years ago. And this discussion came up because, you know, kids just playing in junior tournaments. If kid A has a rich dad and he's got three spare drivers in the car, and kid B doesn't, he just has an old beaten up driver, but he's a good player. You know, if kid A breaks the club, dad just goes and gets another one. Kid B doesn't have the same options. So, you know, you've got to look at the game slightly differently. And just allowing it to be so technologically driven and giving people free distance, I'm not for, because, you know, the blueprint gets bigger, the golf courses, it's cost more to maintain, and then it's a chase at. My course is 7,500 yards, yours is only 74, so you tack on. So the answer around all the problems is just spend more money, make a better driver, make a longer golf course. And that's just making our game more and more expensive.
Absolutely. I feel like we're back in the 80s when they were building these gigantic golf courses. And then it came to the point where, well, it's getting too long now. You know, let's get real. Let's let nature take the course and let's make golf on just natural. We don't, you can't use all the water and everything. And now we seem to be back in this bigger is better is greater is let's do it all. I don't understand the movement right now. I'm going to go off on a tangent here. Green books. Here's a rule. What do you did you agree that it should be the change? So the on January 1, they won't allow the use of any yardage or green reading books that were created before 2022, prohibiting the use of levels and any device to test the conditions of the putting green.
Well, I mean, that's a very simple question on the outside, but it's a very clever question too, because it actually encompasses a lot. I can go down the road and buy a $500 rangefinder, right, or $200 or $300 now, and yet I'm not allowed to use a $2 level and hours of my own time to write in my own book, do my homework. So you start to see where some rules are benefiting people with a large pocket and others don't. Mm. For example, the people that make green books don't make a lot of money. They make a good living, don't get me wrong, but they can't compete with the rangefinder people and the driver manufacturers and the putter manufacturers and all that. So it's very easy to push them away and make it seem like we're doing something. Now, to answer your question, though, no, I don't like the optics and I don't like the time wasting. But if the rule says you've got 40 seconds to play, if you can do that in the 40 seconds, then I've got to be okay with that. Now, but we weren't really enforcing the 40 seconds properly. So there's a lot of trickle-down effects. So a very, very simple question that actually starts to unravel some of the complications that we have. So we look like we're doing something. We'll ban that. I actually thought the driver, believe it or not, reducing that from 48 to 46 was the gutsiest move they had. And that got the most pushback, believe it or not, because it was like, well, why are you stopping me hitting it further? No, it should be fine. You know, you imagine baseball if a bunt was a home run. It would be terrible. People still want to see home runs. But there needs to be some way of relating previous generations to what we have now. These players are great players. I've said this on your show before. I love the way these guys play. I really do. I think they're great. They don't get enough credit. But if they just hit the ball a ridiculous distance and a lot of it's coming from elsewhere, then they're not going to get the credit they deserve. And sadly, when we go to St. Andrews this year for the Open Championship, it's going to be a watershed moment, because effectively they could drive half of the par four greens. And that would be a travesty. So we'd never want to see that. But to your, to your question, green books are, I don't like the time wasting involved. I think it was a little more simply, and if people learn how to do it properly in a quick way, then I'm okay with it. But just sitting there on TV, for example, and a guy's trying to see whether, it's 2.3% downhill or uphill or whatever, I mean, like, do a little bit of homework beforehand.
But that's all we see on television is like, why do you have to pull that thing out? Can't you use... You know the course, you've walked the course, and now use some intuition or some sense of feel. It felt like the feel was taken out of the game because they were all using this analytical green book.
Yeah, but a lot of things have changed now, because it's interesting. TV is good and bad at the same time, right? Because look at caddy conversations. They're great, don't get me wrong. I love listening to what the players are saying. But if you go back 10 years when they were first sort of being put on, a caddy would go, hey, it's a 7-iron, lean on it, boss. That's the right club. And that's it. And now the conversation is, well, the wind's kicked up, the green's a little firmer. I mean, the conversation is like 30 seconds, 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Because they know they're on TV. It's captivating and it's different. And obviously, as an announcer, people hate it and we shouldn't interrupt that. But it's like when people know they're on TV and they're dominating the camera. Tiger Woods used to do it just walking down the fairway. We would get a bigger rating with him cleaning his shoes. That's good. But we did. People just, they were fixated on them. But now, we're like, oh, well, the guy's leading and there's really nothing. And we're watching a guy look at a book or his caddies and he are talking ad nauseum about a shot. That's, basically, 125, just a normal wedge and just hit it. So we're, we're sort of acting out the part a little bit.
Yeah, so the television is great for us to be able to watch, but then the guys who know they're on television tend to play it up. And
yeah, they do.
Yeah, And I can see, you know, it's all about looking good and putting on a show. They think they're putting on a show, but in a way, it's just like, please, we need, you know, move along already. That was my biggest problem with all of that. Now, with New Zealand being so close to the Asian tour, I don't know if this impacts, but I just wanted to briefly talk about Greg Norman and his new world tour with the Deep Pockets, backing this up. Yes. And I don't know if it's Live, L-I-V, I've heard it's Roman numeral 54 and not. So what do you think of this whole thing?
Well, as soon as you say Saudi, it sounds bad, right?
Right.
But, you know, I think Saudi Arabia, they banned slavery back in 1972. That's how recent it is. And they used to be a protectorate of the British Commonwealth. I mean, they're also an ally when America was fighting in Afghanistan because they were fighting, you know, basically against the Russians. And we were also dragging a lot of oil from there, and we also drag a lot of oil from Venezuela. I mean, they're not exactly two of the two countries with great records. So there is a little bit of hypocrisy. So, you know, I try and remove myself from that and say, well, what would I do? And I think that if the tour became like a Moscow circus, in the sense that it was, say, for example, over 40 years of age, and it was to go around and play in all these places that don't get a lot of golf around the world, then I would say it's great. Honestly, I would. The Asian Tour is an interesting one. I have a very good friend called Don Boulay, who's on the Asian Tour board, so I knew a little bit from his point of view. And he was saying, you know, they're struggling there because I know when I played there, I remember 1985, that's where Payne Stewart met Tracy Stewart, actually was in Malaysia, which was part of the Asian Tour. So there's a lot of American players that have played through that neck of the woods in their throughout their career. So that was a very good developing tour, but it struggled with some of the World Golf Championship events. They didn't work the way they were going to. They've had different people trying to run that tour. So for Don Boulay, who sits on that board, it was like, well, someone's actually offering that region money. And there's a lot of money in that area. They just can't all get in the same boat. And Europe actually had that same problem. The biggest problem with Europe, why it didn't develop, is that each respective country, golf federation, thought they were getting the worst date. The French Open didn't think their date was as good as the Spanish Open or the German Open. And so the hardest thing for Europe was to get people under one tour and say, listen, this is the best way. So the move there is quite clever. It legitimizes the move.
Yes.
So I think that was pretty savvy. But that area actually needs golf. The PGA Tour and Europe really weren't doing that much for that area. So they need help. And so they would gladly take it. But the tour that being presented that is more in an opposition to the PGA Tour, what I've heard is more like a team event type thing. So you have teams. Each team would have like a former major champion would be a captain. So that's why I initially started with like the Moscow Circus thing. I think as a rival to regular golf, it shouldn't be. But I think if people get into their 40s and realize they're not as competitive as what they were, I think it's an alternative. And if it were to be that way, and it were to travel around the world in the sense to grow the game, then I think it'd be a positive thing. But if it's in direct conflict to what I think is proper golf, and that's golf being played at the highest level all over the world in the best conditions, like, you know, with cuts, you know, 132, 44 man fields and above, and those type of things, then it's not going to be that. And then so I'm not for that as a replacement. Or as a competitor. And as far as the World Tours thing, that was mooted in the 60s when Mark McCormick, the late Mark McCormick, had Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Arnold Palmer. And Mark McCormick, who was obviously the founder of IMG, said, I didn't think it's good for golf. And he didn't do it. And then Peter Thompson, the great Australian player, 5 Open Championships, there was also an opportunity for him to do it when he was playing around the world, and he didn't think it was good for golf. So when Greg tried to do it a few years ago, it wasn't the first. So there's a little bit of an inaccuracy. I wish people would come clean and sort of get it out in the open so we really could look at it.
Yes.
But like I said, as an alternative, I don't agree with. But if it's a supplement and it's like a Moscow Circus type thing, 40 and above or that type of thing, then I think we could, you know, it could be good for golf.
Excellent. Frank Nobilo, golf analyst, CBS Sports. You know, I wish it were more than once a year, but I'll take it. Thank you. Thanks for being on the show and have a great great new year. Merry Christmas. Say hello to your beautiful wife and all the best to you. Thank you.
I will, Daniel. Thanks for having me on the show again. And I'm sorry with what's happened recently in Hawaii. You guys recover well.
Thank you. Aloha. Coming back, we're going to go to Jen Corcoran, co-founder Grutter Golf, and GrutterGolf.com is where you'll find them. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
And here comes the Sony Open. PGA Tour stars hit the Waialae. Beautiful golf course, January 10th through the 16th. Get up and close to those people who are playing. You'll learn a lot. It's all the action, and you can be right there. You just need to volunteer at SonyOpenInHawaii.com. That's SonyOpenInHawaii.com. Jump on the Sony Open wave of aloha for Hawaii's charities.
Aloha, this is PGA Tour winner and major champion Colin Morikawa. Join me and the best players in the world at the 2022 Century Tournament of Champions, January 5th through 9th at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Don't miss Maui's premier event, which is fun for the whole family. This year, Hawaii residents can get a special Kama'aina ticket presented by Southwest Airlines. These ticket packages and more are available at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Grutter Golf, Jen Corcoran, co-founder Grutter Golf, and GrutterGolf.com is where you'll find them. Golf Digest did a great article, how four women behind Grutter Golf are fighting the game's intimidation problem and winning. They've also got a podcast, Low Expectations. That podcast is part of the No Laying Up podcast network. It's all about a trip to Cape Cod that brought it together. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jen.
Thank you so much, Danielle. I'm thrilled to be back here. It feels like it's been forever.
I know it has been, but so much has changed, so much has developed, and you guys are on a roll. Jen Corcoran, Haley Hillisland, Kiki Grutter, and Aaron Donnelly, they created. Now tell us about that trip to Cape Cod.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Danielle, it was because the weather in Cape Cod is probably less reliable than the weather in Hawaii. And, you know, the three, Kiki and Haley, were visiting my family. They have a place down there. We had access to a golf course nearby, and I had really never thought about it too much. But when it's on a beach day, you're left with very few options. And so the first day, you know, I had been kind of messing around, going to the range every once in a while, but I really hated it. But I acknowledged that it was a sport that some people really loved, and maybe there was something there. But it wasn't until, you know, I went with my friends that it became actually fun and I figured out what it was all about, which is really like spending time with cool people. So Kiki and I went to the range one day, we started making contact, and then we're like, you know what, let's play nine tomorrow. When Haley joined us, the nine was really eight holes because we skipped the first hole because we were so nervous to tee off in front of the clubhouse that we simply could not. We were also probably 10 minutes late, so because we didn't know what to wear. So it was a chaotic round. I think that we maybe, you know, it was a lot of like shanks. We were sprinting around, you know, sprinting around the golf course, just trying not. We understood the pace of play was an issue. So we didn't want to be holding up pace of play. So we were running around, didn't keep score at all. Just kind of were laughing at each other, laughing at ourselves. And really just fell in love with it right there. You know, we probably had a total of, you know, 10 combined good shots among the three of us, but left saying, man, we got to do this again sometime. So, and here we are, you know, 5 years later, and doing it way more to a greater extent than we ever thought possible for people who didn't play golf.
Well, you know, it's funny when you're all equally humiliated, there makes it's a real bond, and you just want to get, you want to get better. And so you get to applaud each other's successes, you know, like I can't help myself. I'm over there going, yay, good shot. You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah. And that's really continued on. You know, we have now girls, we hold these big events. You know, we started out in New York City. We're kind of trying to spread a little bit more along the East Coast. And we used to have, you know, we're known for these big kind of party events where we tell people, you know, even if you have never played golf before, never touched a glove, come out. You're going to love it. It will be a lot of fun. It's really more like a party. You know, we'll put you in a foursome if you don't have people to play with. You know, we'll answer really. There are no stupid questions. We'll answer any question that you have about it. And we, like, cheer for people when they basically, you know, we call, you know, when someone tops it and it, you know, makes it kind of far, we call that a stinger. And we, like, applaud as if it is the U.S. Open, you know. We're like, wow, like, great job to people. Because it really is. I mean, no matter what the shot looks like, you know, making contact when you're a beginner is just such a thrill. And so we want to, you know, really feed into that with people and really keep them coming back. So.
Yes, yes, yes. That's so gentle and wonderful. And do you guys really encounter an intimidation factor when you go to the courses?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I'm a little bit more used to it now. But, you know, I mean, there's something to be said. We talk about this a lot. You know, when you're one of very few women around, you always kind of just feel like you're sticking out like a sore thumb regardless, you know. So when we first started, we knew that there were all these rules, too, but we didn't know what they were. So it was kind of a mysterious, you know, am I doing this right? You know, you're feeling like you're a little bit walking on eggshells, especially, I mean, now we tend to, you know, encourage people more to play at public golf courses and municipal courses that are always, you know, friendlier and just a little easier, a little bit more low pressure. But when you go to a super nice course, you know, I still get a little bit stressed out. I'm like, is my skirt too short? You know, is it okay that I'm wearing a sleeveless polo? You know, and I mean, on top of all that, I'm still terrible. You know, we have not gotten any better since the last time we spoke with you. We focus a lot on the business. We're on golf courses all the time. But we've all committed in 2022 to take lessons because that is really, it turns out, the only way to get better.
Bravo. No, it's true. It's true. You know, people can show you how to, you know, what I love is when an instructor actually gets a little hands-on and says, okay, now if you take your arm and do this, because you have never felt what you're supposed to be doing right. It doesn't look natural to do it that way. You know?
There is just so much mystery involved in this game. It's crazy. You know, you uncover new things all the time. And you're like, I never knew that, you know? I never knew what that term meant, and I was too nervous to ask.
Well, you've got a great website. I mean, I love the tie-dye Gruder golf tees. Those are the ones that you can pre-order, right?
That was, well, so yeah, those could still be available. Those were actually a fundraiser that we did. That was in the early pandemic. You know, I love tie-dyeing and I wanted to do it anyway. And, you know, we were like, let's toss some of those up on the site. And I loved the way that they came out. They were really, really neat. And so, yeah, we try to make some merch that's, you know, not your typical golf merch, you know, kind of funky stuff that, you know, is stuff that we really love. You know, we don't have too much merch up on the site right now. We're a little bit back to the drawing board on that. We've got some beanies coming out soon, some new t-shirts, but we want to make sure that everything we put out is something that we absolutely adore. Actually, we just released some head covers from a company called Jan Craig Golf that's located in Chicago. the women-owned brand's been around since 1962, and they're these hand-knit head covers. They're so cute. They remind us of little Muppets. They seem like little sweaters for your golf club. So we're really excited to launch those. And actually, we've got a contest going up right now on Instagram. If you just tag one of your friends and follow both us and Jan Craig, you could win one. So we're going to be giving that out like next week. Should be here in time for the holidays, time for Christmas at least.
Oh, what wonderful. So this is spelled G-R-U-E-T-E-R. That's the E-U-E is like an umlaut.
It is, so it used to be an umlaut, I guess. And yes. Kiki's grandfather, our great-grandfather, changed it when he came over to America from Germany.
There's no umlaut on a typewriter, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Gruter Golf and GruterGolf.com. So you go to Gruter Golf, and then you go to merch, okay? And there is cool hats and cool shirts. These are some really good ideas for holiday shopping, by the way. But your limited edition... A tie-dye GGT, I like that, GG, Gruta Girls, T, GGT, it still says pre-order, but then it says sold out. Oh, bummer, it's sold out.
You know, Danielle, I think I know someone who could hook you up if you really want one. I know a guy.
You're so cool. And I like the beanie. That's really, this is some really, now, how do you get more people to come in?
So we've been trying to kind of just expand across to new cities. So we've been partners with Five Iron Golf for a few years now. And we actually have a membership program as well called the Gruter Golf Ladies Club that is a social golf club for women. We started it. We launched it in 2019 in New York City. And fatefully in 2020 decided to expand to Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Chicago. It got a little stifled there for reasons that everybody could probably assume. And so, you know, we were trying over 2021 to do a few more events. We held our first big event in Chicago in September, and that was really, really fun. We had people driving in from, like, Iowa and Michigan, and it was really special. We have begun to do more clinics and expand the membership to those cities. And so there are a handful of girls and, you know, a few different cities that get together, you know, weekly or monthly to either plan a league or take a clinic together. And so we also just do, you know, a lot of kind of, we're very much yes men, you know, we just say yes to pretty much every opportunity. It's been huge. You know, the podcast has been great because we can kind of invite people on that we're just dying to talk to and just ask them all of our questions. And then the greatest thing, I mean, of the 2021 for us is probably, you know, the No Laying Up partnership. We've been huge fans of theirs for quite some time, and we think that they're, you know, great mentors to us, too. They've been unbelievably generous with their time and their advice, and, you know, they've kind of walked a similar path and, you know, being college friends who then, you know, started getting into golf together, or they were already golfers, but started a golf podcast together, you know, kind of slowly all left their day jobs to pursue that full time. So that's definitely something we're interested in doing. So it's been really cool working with them and just kind of, you know, becoming friends with them.
Awesome. Jen Corcoran, I hope you stay in touch and we'll talk more often. Co-founder Gruter Golf and GruterGolf.com is where you'll find them, or how four women behind Gruter Golf are fighting the game's intimidation problem and winning. Thank you for being on the show with me.
Thank you so much, Danielle. It was great to talk to you. And we'll try to get the other three on soon, too.
That would be...
I'll get on them about that.
Yes, that'll be fun. Again, thank you. Aloha.
All right, all the best. Thank you.
Rick Hamilton, independent golf club designer. He took a little bit of a break from the game. I wonder why he came back. Maybe there's something up in his brain that just has to come out. We'll be talking with Rick Hamilton, independent golf club designer, Rick Hamilton Golf Company. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Here comes the Sony Open. PGA Tour stars hit Waialae January 10th to the 16th. Get up close to the action. Register to volunteer at SonyOpenInHawaii.com. That's SonyOpenInHawaii.com. Jump on the Sony Open wave of aloha for Hawaii charities.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha, this is Harris English, your defending champion at the Century Tournament of Champions. This year, the tournament invites you and your Ohana to celebrate the community on Saturday, January 8th, as part of our Ohana Day, presented by Southwest Airlines. This interactive day will feature fun for the whole family, including food trucks, special ticket packages, keiki activities, and more. Purchase your tickets today at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
Here's the local rules sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Rick Hamilton, independent golf club designer, the Rick Hamilton Golf Company. You may remember the F2 Hamilton putter face with the microdome insert. So the dimples on the golf ball don't influence the direction the ball rolls. You didn't think about that, did you? Yes, that can happen. Rick, welcome into the clubhouse.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me, how long were you in the business before you took a hiatus?
Yeah, it was about 30 years. Years ago, I was a golf professional in San Diego at Mission Bay Golf Course, an executive course. And then later on, I actually went to Oahu, and I was an assistant pro over at Oahu Country Club back in 83 through 86.
Wow, cool. Aloha, hi.
Yeah.
But when did you start designing clubs?
Oh, well, as I got back to the mainland, I wound up getting involved with the designing of the golf clubs. I think it was mostly influenced by people that I met when I was in San Diego, like Carsten Solheim with Ping, Jim Flood, who started the Odyssey Putter and Eldola Graphite Shafts. He used to come on by and always talk to me while I was there, and I was always amazed and picked their brain apart about the designs, and those were some of the real pioneers in the early days. Later on, I wound up working at a golf company called Ray Cook Putters, and a person that you might become very familiar with in the past was Scotty Cameron, who he and I used to work together at Ray Cook Putters. And that's kind of where we got our start in design and getting ideas and working with tour pros and amateurs as well.
Okay, so that microdome insert, is that the white insert we see on so many putters?
Well, you'll see white inserts kind of got started with the Odyssey. Originally had the black insert, which was the made from the sternomic material that Jim Flood came out with. And eventually they came out with a white insert. Actually, one of the first wins on tour with the microdome technology was Fred Funk, who won his first Champions Tour event with my putter before when he was in San Antonio. And the first time he used it, he wound up winning the tournament.
That was the F2 Hamilton?
Yeah, that was the F2 Hamilton putter.
Wow. That must have been a very cool feeling for you.
It was one of those times where, as I had worked many years out on tour working with the players back in the early days with Ray Cook and doing some of Scotty Cameron's early designs, you get a lot of feedback from the players as to what they're looking for. And one of the things, as I worked with different companies behind the scenes, was that I noticed that the ball coming off the face of the putters on certain putters tended to kick off right or left and not going straight. And so there was some technology when I was at Carbide called brass balls, which it seemed to help out the ball to go straighter. And I remember making a putter for Retief Goosing, and who won the Bell South when I was with Carbite. And I remember knocking up one for him back at Bay Hill, and then a couple weeks later he won at Bell South with it and putted really well. So I basically just kind of took that concept and made it into a more consistent type insert that would have a good feedback and a nice soft hit at impact.
Wonderful. Now, Raymond Floyd is featured in one of the videos that... he said a strike that resonates up into your hands and into the body is a good one. And I'm going to this part. On your page, you say, it's time to regain putter resonating feedback as well as more control in your putting stroke. Now,
exactly. A lot of the tour pros that I worked with in the past, the hit, the strike of the ball on the face, and the sound of it gave them that feedback that they were looking for. And like Raymond Floyd, he used one of my putters of the early days called the Seashell. I came out with a milled putter that looked like kind of like a black seashell with a copper face. And it had a hollowed out interior so that when you struck the ball, it made a little bit more of a kind of like a tuning fork type sound. So you could tell whether you hit it, you know, in the center or the heel or toe. You could tell by the sound and feel. And actually, Raymond Floyd won the Skins game in Hawaii the year that I came out with that putter years ago.
Cool.
It's interesting about putters and sound and feel and the weight. These days, it seems that the reason I came back into the industry was that I started to see this big trend of heavier putters and then longer, you know, the belly putters, and then have the long putters. And some of your best putters out there actually like the putter to be a little lighter so they can accelerate through the stroke rather than feeling like you draw it back and then you just kind of drop it in by gravity. And in that case, the putter has more control than you do.
Got it. Now, so what is your plan?
Well, I've been working with designs that I feel will help not only the average golfer putt better and eliminate some of the, a lot of people lose confidence when they don't seem like they can consistently get the ball to the hole the right distance. And the big thing about putting is being able to control your speeds and as well as playing the break. And if you've got a putter that's too heavy, it's really hard to accelerate it through the stroke. And sometimes you'll see a lot of guys, even on tour, where they'll take the putter back. They think they took it back too far, and then they kind of decelerate at impact, and the blade's a little bit closed, and they wind up being short and left.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. We've seen that a lot this season.
Yes.
Yeah. So your plan is to create something that's going to make that less likely with a lighter weight?
And the big thing about it is that you can do it. Let's say in the old days when milled putters were first coming out, T.P. Mills, I remember meeting him years ago with Scotty Cameron, and his putters always had what we called like a narrow pencil type shaft. It was narrower at the bottom. And so the objective of that was to get a little bit more flex and a little more feel in the putter head, kind of like when you're fishing. When you're fishing, you use different kinds of poles to catch different kinds of fish. And if you're, trying to catch small fish, you want to pull with a little bit more weight, a little more give in it, a little more flex so you can feel what's going on. And I thought that was really key. And so the putters that he made at the time weren't really super heavy. They just had really good sense of feel. Mm-hmm. And you just had to time them. So a guy like a Ben Crenshaw, was always good with a nice, 8802 type blade, and you just had that smooth feel, and he had a light grip. He didn't choke it down or grip it too hard. Nowadays, it seems like what we're doing is we tend to be making more crutches than we do of letting the person excel to the best of his abilities. You know, you'll see like Tiger Woods has pretty much used the same kind of putter with a smaller grip for years, and they have loft on it. They are lighter in weight, so you can accelerate through. And I know he experimented with trying to use some that were a little heavier in a mallet style for a while there, but he wasn't putting as consistent, so he went back to using what worked for him in the past.
Always a good idea. Are you going to be bringing out putters under your name?
Yeah, that'll be coming up. I'm working on a mallet style one and also on a blade style one. And one of the big keys in getting that feedback in there was what I was telling you was about the shaft. And I've been working with Carter Penley with Penley Graphite Shafts in developing a putter shaft that will give the person that feedback that they want at impact, and also to maintain to have a little bit more of a smaller grip that's flat on the top that you can feel, the resonating feedback of the ball coming off the face, and since the head will be a little lighter than what nowadays. Nowadays, we got putter heads that are between 350 gram head weights to 375. And I'm going back to where, closer to what Ping had for years, which was probably the number one winner on tour were Ping putters. And those gram weights were usually right around a 307 to 317 gram weights. But it allowed the person to accelerate through. Actually, years ago in Hawaii at the Hawaiian Open, Carson Solheim was there, and he actually was speaking to me about why his putters were so successful, not only on tour, but with the average player. And his big key thing was that he had me say, now hit one of your putters, that you've got this milled putter with less loft on it. Here's a 40-foot putt. And then I hit it, and he says, okay, hit another one. And so I wound up short on those two. And then he said, okay, now try one of my putters. And I wound up going, like 2 feet beyond or a foot beyond. And he goes, see, there's the difference. You don't make any putts if you come up short.
Oh, Rick Hamilton, you'll have to get in touch with me when you're really moving forward. But this is fascinating. Independent golf club designer, it's Rick Hamilton Golf Company. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Aloha. And Ben Vayner is founder of T-Commerce. T-Commerce Co. So T like T-E-E, Commerce, C-O.com. Really good ideas for golf courses that don't want to carry the weight of stock. We'll be back with Ben after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Iwilei. Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
And here comes the Sony Open. PGA Tour stars hit Waialae January 10th through the 16th. Get up close to the action. Register to volunteer at SonyOpenInHawaii.com. That is SonyOpenInHawaii.com. Jump on the Sony Open Wave of Aloha for Hawaii Charities.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few $100s. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him, rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers too.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Ben Vayner is founder of T-Commerce. A lifelong golfer, Ben got to know the business of golf when he was in high school. He worked at his local muni, doing everything from parking carts to running tournaments. Before getting into the business of golf, he was in nonprofit and public service, including working for the mayor's office in Boston and chief of staff for Shaw Family Foundation. But he always had his hand in entrepreneurial businesses, and he founded T-Commerce, an online extension of pro shops for golf courses without the means to invest in a brick and mortar style affair. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ben.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So I really like your idea. This is, how did you, you know, tell me how you, did the light bulb go on one day?
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Kind of, right? Like we, you know, every golf course has a pro shop of some kind, whether it's a big brick and mortar shop or a few shelves where folks mostly pay tee times. And what I was seeing is that like everyone else was buying things online, not in their golf life, and had this kind of realization that that pro shops could and should be online. And there's a way to make it really easy for them to do so without having extra inventory. And so that's where we really decided to build T-Commerce so that it could be a tool for courses, whether they do have an on-course shop or not, to still be able to bring in the online sales and compete with some of the big, you know, big mainstream golf stores out there that are really taking a lot of the sales right now.
Yeah, so You've got two plans, and I like that. So it gives people options, and I'm sure you'd customize things. First of all, let's talk about, before we get into the plans, because we're going to do that, but how do people get in touch with you?
Sure, yeah, just by going to tcommerceco.com. They can either schedule a demo, learn a little bit more. They can also email me directly at Ben, B-E-N, at tcommerceco.com, which is T-E-E. C-O-M-M-E-R-C-E-C-O.com.
Excellent. So you go on to your website, a person who's interested after listening to this or while they're listening to this conversation, and they check out and they see that there are a couple of things that they can opt into. Tell us about the carry plan.
Yeah, so the carry plan is for folks who've got some time on their hands and want to take the stock that they have on their shelves and sell it online and manage it online. And so it's, you know, they can constantly be changing depending on what they get through their doors. And they're the ones then shipping it out and kind of doing it and using our platform to make it easy for them. And so everything from prepaid shipping labels, so somebody places an order, our system automatically sends them a prepaid shipping label, so all they have to do is print it out, take whatever the item that was purchased, and mail it to the customer. So the carry plan is for those folks who have the time to do this, which which from what we understand, there is actually a smaller percentage of folks as golf has become busier than ever.
Right. So these people who you have an online store and you set it up and you help them all the way through, right? I mean, you're
exactly.
An assistant in the whole process.
Exactly. Yep. We take care of all of the tech side of things. We handle customer service for them. We do everything except actually, you know, take the pictures of the product and ship the products, because in the carry plan, it's products that they actually have on their shelf. But as much as we can do from afar, we do for them, and that's all built into that plan.
Okay, so that's for people who actually have a pro shop, whether it's big or small, because they want to have some idea how they're, you know, what's going out. The cart plan is a little bit more extensive and where you really take care of everything. Tell us about the cart plan.
Correct. Yeah. And the cart plans definitely are. The reason for that is, A, it includes everything from the carry plan. So folks can still add products from their own shelves and have the automated prepaid shipping labels, et cetera. But what the cart plan also does is it introduces our on-demand product catalog. So essentially, we've got relationships with a bunch of different brands and vendors, and we have our own on-demand embroidery and printing operation. So we're able to fully build and manage an online store for a course partner with products that they actually will never have to even touch themselves, right? So orders come in. We then put on the logo and drop ship it right to the customer, all as if it's coming from them. So we're very much behind the scenes. But really, they get to add a new online store full of a bunch of different products, more than they've ever had before, without having to, A, do any work, and B, investing any additional inventory costs.
And you do the full customization. You're going to have to call or get in touch with Ben and talk to him about pricing. Because I imagine, if you're going to do embroidering, did you say you do embroidering too?
We do embroidering, we do printing, we even create head covers and scorecard holders fully from scratch with fully custom printed patterns. And everything we do down to one piece. So that means that we can, you know, across all of our stores, sell different products without the traditional minimums involved for courses if they're, you know, trying to stock up in their actual physical shop.
Wow. So, okay, doesn't this open up a whole new world for you? I mean, you know, for someone who's listening, who's in a golf course and thinking about, you know, how could I get some income? Because this will generate income. You're not going to, do take a piece of the action, though, don't you?
Of course, yeah. We take a piece of the action to cover our work with, you know, with on-demand manufacturing. It is a little bit more expensive than doing 24 pieces of embroidery at once or 36 pieces. But because we built our whole operation on that, we're able to still make it really profitable for the course. And that's really why we built T-commerce, is we want courses to be competing in the e-commerce game, and we want to provide them with another revenue stream that they might have not known was available to them or was available to them risk-free. And so that's really why T-commerce exists.
Wow. Now, have you had any municipal courses get in touch with you?
Yeah. Yep. We've had municipal courses, and what's really nice about municipal courses is public tee times, right? So anyone who's booking a tee time, for the most part now, you still get a few courses here and there that don't have online tee times, but almost all of them do. And what we can do is we can connect our stores to the tee time systems so that every person who's booking a tee time is also getting confirmation emails and marketing emails about the online store. And that's one of the things that municipal courses actually hold over many other courses, including private, is that they have so many more people coming through the gates every day. And if you can successfully email market to them, which we help these courses do, then all of a sudden your pro shop, specifically your online pro shop, can become a force to be reckoned with.
That's cool. I mean, that's. I mean, and the reason I ask about municipal, you know, cities or states, I don't know, you know, what the situation is around the world. across the United States. Since this is streaming live, I always think about the audience, but everybody has different rules about, you know, how business can be conducted. I imagine you're accustomed to that sort of thing.
Yep. Yeah. There's all different processes through, you know, RFPs and bids and things like that for if it's a city run course. But oftentimes city run courses are then managed by outside companies who then have the autonomy to kind of make some of these decisions. And so that's obviously the, you know, easiest for them if they're able to just make the decisions. But regardless, we're, you know, because it's such a low cost, low risk option, our services, it's usually under any threshold of bid requirements and things like that. So it's really easy for any type of course, including a municipal course, to engage with us.
Cool. Because I was just thinking about all of our municipal courses in Hawaii. And if, you know, a visitor comes, you know, they're going to play at Pali Golf Links or wherever they happen to be playing. They'd love to get a hat or a T-shirt or something, but they don't necessarily want to have to carry more things back home with them. They'll be able to have it shipped directly home to them. So,
exactly. And maybe they didn't have time to go into the pro shop, but then they get an email the next day thanking them for coming to the course with a little discount code. And then all of a sudden they're, you know, that person who wasn't a customer all of a sudden becomes one.
Well, Ben Vayner, you've opened up some eyes. Thank you so much. Ben Vayner is founder of T-Commerce, tcommerceco.com. That's TEECOMMERCECO.com. I got it? Okay. Awesome. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Aloha. Seth Pepper is an elite mental performance coach. Mike Darby is a professional tour caddy. He's also a founding member of the Association of Tour Caddies and a contributor to Caddy Network, the Caddy Network. We're going to talk to them how one helped the other right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Here comes the Sony Open. PGA Tour stars are hitting the Waialae Country Club on January 10th to the 16th with fabulous play. And you can get close to the action and register to volunteer. You can do both of those things. First, you have to register to volunteer at SonyOpenInHawaii.com. SonyOpenInHawaii.com. Talk about a lesson. Jump on the Sony Open Wave of Aloha for Hawaii Charities. K-O-R-L, Y-N-I, Honolulu. I was just thinking we really should give away something. Don't you think we should give away something like a pitch fix, divot repair tool, and maybe one of those fabulous brushes, those cleaners of irons. That should go along with that. That's what I think. I think that would be great. And you know what? You don't have to keep it. You can give it to your golfer. All right. You'll have a lot of fun giving the golfer a gift. And they don't think you know anything about the game. What a thought. Okay. And all you have to do is be the, ninth caller. And the number is 808-545-1111. 808-545-1111.
Poi Pu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poi Pu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poi Pu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Aloha, this is PGA Tour winner and major champion Colin Morikawa. Join me and the best players in the world at the 2022 Century Tournament of Champions, January 5th through 9th at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Don't miss Maui's premier event, which is fun for the whole family. This year, Hawaii residents can get a special Kama'aina ticket presented by Southwest Airlines. These ticket packages and more are available at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Seth Pepper, elite mental performance coach. Mike Darby, professional tour caddy, founding member of Association of Tour Caddies, contributor to the Caddy Network. Seth, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into the clubhouse. Good to have you. And Mike... Hi.
Good morning. Thanks for having us, Danielle.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Now I said in the tease that one of you helped the other, and it's an interesting story that Mike is going to tell us about because this is a win story. Can you start by giving us a little background? Like, how did this come about, the relationship between you and Seth?
Well, Seth actually contacted me. It would have been February of when I was still with Jim Herman on the PGA Tour. I was at the LA Open, and he contacted me through LinkedIn just wanting to talk and learn more about the golf business and how it works and that. And we became friends more than anything. And then I was with Jim Herman when the pandemic hit, and in the depths of the pandemic and feeling sorry for myself, blame the victim, all that, I sent Seth a long email basically saying, "You know what? My whole life I've been a wimp. Can you help me?" We had a laugh about that. And yes, help me he has. I'll let him tell some of it as well, too. But everything he said that was going to happen has happened. So I trust him. I believe in him. And all the tools that he's given me have really helped me under pressure.
Can I just ask why you felt like a wimp?
Not assertive enough in life. Going after what I wanted. You know, what I believed I could do. I thought maybe I could do some good things or this or that. I had a good example from my father being very assertive and very successful, and I just never went after it. And then now I'm starting to do that a lot more, just thanks to some confidence and planning and tools, basically, to do it.
And Seth gave you those tools?
Yes.
Okay. Seth, can you give us a little insight in how you helped Mike?
Well, it was interesting, the timing of it, because the last conversation that you and I had was during the pandemic, and you were asking for advice. So I was going back through the story, I was going back through the timeline, and I realized that Mike was a living example of the situation that we were all dealing with. He's Canadian, and the borders were pretty restricted, and so he wasn't able to be out on the tour. And so basically was that isolation situation. And for Mike, it was just basically how do we do what we can do within those limitations. And then it's actually the perfect opportunity for someone to develop under, because you have the focus, you have the time, you have the energy. And so Mike has always been this really great coachable person. And so right away it was trying to understand, okay, what do you want in life? And once we kind of allowed ourselves the access to be able to, you know, I like to take people through the scenario of if you couldn't win, or excuse me, the opposite, if you couldn't lose, what would that look like? And, you know, build out from there and then kind of build a bridge to that result. And so it's been this really great, you know, not just, you know, a partnership, but just like a friendship as well. And to see it all unfold, it was magical. So,
to start as friends and then to become his coach. And what does it take to be a coachable person?
I think that the main area is probably a bit of humility, you know, and have some curiosity. You know, if you look at the greats, like if you really study some of the greats, whether it's Tiger or Kobe or Jordan, and you really dig into their past, you know, beyond the ESPN highlight reel, you'll really find people that are curious, that just want to learn. And so if someone has that curiosity, that's where you build out from. And I think it's really important that they also allow themselves to be vulnerable. I think that gets overlooked because you see them holding trophies and you see them in celebration of being this winning warrior. Well, there's a lot of vulnerability behind that of, you know, how do you become curious in the first place? How do you learn? In order to learn, you have to be vulnerable. You have to expose yourself to the elements. So that's kind of what I look for, is to try and encourage people to open themselves up.
You know, it's hard to imagine Tiger Woods as being vulnerable, but I can totally understand the vulnerable aspect that you're talking about. In other words, testing out something, trying it, even if it means possibly failing at that moment, but trying again and not giving up. And that is certainly who Tiger Woods is in my mind. Somebody who doesn't give up, who gives it another shot and continues to strive towards something. Now, before we continue on this story, because we're not nowhere near done, on Mike Darby, the professional tour caddy, and we're talking with Seth Pepper, the elite mental performance coach. This is during the pandemic when the Canadian borders are still closed. And you're here in the States, aren't you?
Yes.
And Mike is in Canada. Did you do this all on Zoom?
Yes, we do it over the phone, and it's remote. You know, that's mainly the way the work is done, is remote. And so as long as he was doing the work and I trusted that, you know, the accountability was there, then we would check in on a regular basis.
Cool. And you'd say phone. Sometimes I think it's a more intimate conversation where vulnerability is a big factor when it's actually on the phone rather than on a Zoom call where you're seeing each other. Does one work better than the other?
I would say they're different. You know, there definitely is advantages to both. So I remain open to whatever someone wants.
Okay.
And feels a preference for. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now you've done all this coaching, and Mike, you've been, you know, open to it, and you're really doing the work. And you said everything that he's told you would happen has happened. What was it that happened?
Well, when we started working together, remember, I was at home in the middle of the pandemic, had no job, not a lot of confidence at that time, probably wasn't in the best physical shape either. And he just said, would always reassure me and saying, oh, well, here, this is going to happen. Don't worry, you're going to get a player. Here's what's going to happen. And eventually, step by step, saying that you will win again, telling me that these events would happen and giving me the tools to... I call him, what is this voodoo logic that you're giving me? But this strange stuff it would happen. It was like, you could call, I don't know, law of attraction or whatever, but everything we worked on and set goals on, it seemed to come together step by step. And I am the biggest pessimist, skeptic, doubter. Seth will tell you that, and we're working on it. I'm getting better. I'm listening. I'm learning. But just step by step, baby steps to a quantum leap, and it just has slowly come together. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, wow, it all led to that win. These tiny little steps, these failures. I did a few events on the LPGA Tour, and I learned a lot there as well, too. I've failed lots, so I've learned lots, and I'm learning a lot more, too.
Wonderful. It's the power of positive thinking.
Yeah.
You know, it truly is. I mean, you create your energy and you step through more doors and you take that risk that Seth was talking about. You become vulnerable and you accept change. But now you keep talking about a win. So tell us how you got to the win.
Well, the senior tour, I was always on the PJ tour. So what happened was I was at the Reno event with Jason Bone, the PJ tour event. We were first alternate all week. We did not get in. So another failure, but I learned from it. And somebody said, hey, Mike, the senior tour is in Calgary, sorry, Champions Tour, was in Calgary the next week. Why don't you go there? Because they were creating a bubble and not many people, players or caddies, were going to be able to get to it. So I got on the phone right away, and I'm friends with Rod Pampling and his caddy, and they said, sure, Darbs, come on, get out there. So I went to Calgary, finished 13th. We missed the top 10 by one shot with Rod Pampling, and Lee Jansen's caddy unfortunately injured himself. He was in the hole ahead of me when we were in Calgary, and I knew Lee was going to need someone for the rest of the year, and Lee's old caddy called me on my drive home. I had no job, nothing going on next, and said, all right, Mike, do you want this for the rest of the year? And we started at the Boeing Classic and ended up, you know, winning our sixth event together, just built momentum each and every week.
So on the sixth event that you worked together, you won together.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the SAS, right? SAS.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Correct. Yeah. And Cary, North Carolina, we were fortunate enough to get off to a good start. And in their tournaments are only three rounds. So that good start is key, and it just built momentum from there. And it was a weird week because on Saturday we had some strange weather delays with massive storms, and he just kept it going, took advantage of it, and made a crucial putt on the last hole of the tournament to what ended up being getting us in the playoff. Missed an easy putt on the 17th hole that would have got us in the lead at the time. But so I thought, maybe we've lost it. But on the final hole, had to be about 25 feet. And not an easy putt either to get us into the playoff. And I went nuts there. Yeah.
Now, the playoff, this is Lee Jansen playing off against Miguel Angel Jimenez. Okay.
Yes, the mechanic.
The mechanic.
Yeah.
A formidable foe, as it were.
Yes.
Yes. So
absolutely.
How did you two work it?
Okay, well, here, it should start here. Lee is hitting putts on the putting green, waiting for a regulation play to finish. And I text Seth. I was like, Seth, get on the TV. Watch this. We're about to go to a playoff. And Seth replied with a great text with a couple of tips on posture and breathing, which I absolutely used on the long cart ride back to the 18th tee and then during the playoff. It only ended up being one hole. So on the tee box, when I arrived there, I just felt like just confident, like, I could describe it like this is ours to take. And Lee was first, and he ripped it over the trees, drew it over the trees back to the middle of the fairway. Miguel pulled it left, then he pulled his approach left, and Lee hit it to the same line and even closer to the hole in the playoff. Miguel almost chipped in for a birdie, left it a foot short, so I give him credit there. And then Lee nailed the, it was probably 15 to 20 footer right in the center. Like, it couldn't have been a better, more confident putt. And but I calmly shook the hand of the other caddy. I didn't go nuts out of respect for our playing competitors there, and it was just wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. I felt that. That is wonderful. Now, all of this work with Seth, the elite mental performance coach who's on with us, Seth Pepper, did you somehow, did any of that rub off on Lee Jansen?
Well, for the first time ever in my career, in Lee's interview on the green, he mentioned my name. And I've never had a player do that on any of my six wins. And he said you can go look it up on pjtour.com. He said, well, my caddy Mike was watching some of the old YouTube videos of my U.S. Open wins. And he said that had something to do with it. So, yeah, you talk about bringing some positive mental energy. And throughout the week, I would talk to Lee and make jokes about how his caddy just did not look amused with his play, but whereas he was just trying to be stoic. And just how I learned how Lee handled the pressure of the back nine on Sunday on, like, those were obviously major tournaments, crowds 10 deep. And it was just so impressive to see him close. So I knew, all right, if we get in this position, I know we can close the door. Just because he's done it before, we both have, and the opportunity presented itself, and we were able to take it.
Wow. Now, earlier in the show, I was talking with Frank Nobilo about the caddy relationship with the player. And, mm-hmm. you know, in the old days, he was saying it was very, you know, seven iron, it's, you hit it, and you're going to get it. And that was it, like real quick. And now there's all this conversation on television, and you're seeing all this, you know, it's like endless.
yes.
Yeah. But so how do you communicate with your player?
Well, obviously, every player is different in what their needs are. So my job is to tailor my services to their needs. Lee is obviously has a brilliant golf mind. He's very self-sufficient. So I make sure that I have all the information ready. I'll give him the numbers that he needs. I try and keep it as simple as possible. He usually has his hand on the club by the time I finish giving him the numbers. So if it's open to discussion, absolutely. But, you know, analysis by paralysis. If we keep it simple and we're assertive in our decision, I stay out of the way. Right? He knows what he's doing. He's been playing golf his whole life. So I just make sure I have as much good information ready at my fingertips. And then if he needs it, my answer is pretty much instant now.
And a positive state of mind.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that too, that helps, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yes, and you will be at the Tournament of Champions at Mitsubishi, the Mitsubishi Electric at Hualalai. That is so exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
You want to know what's more exciting?
What?
Bernard Longer's caddy, Terry Holt, who's a legend in my business, asked me to room with him. So it was like getting asked out by the high school queen, right, or whatever. Yeah. So I'm going to learn from Terry that week. And they, as you know, they just won the Schwab Cup. So it's going to be a great week of learning.
Seth Pepper, elite mental performance coach. Bravo.
Thank you, Seth. Thank you. And Danielle, too, of course.
This is really something. You know, you helped him walk through many, many doors. And this is, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, my website's probably the easiest to remember. It's sethpepper.com. So it's S-E-T-H and then pepper, like salt and pepper. So I'm also on the different social networks. So same thing. So yeah, just reach out. I've always said this. I'll talk to anyone for at least 15 minutes. So, you know, love to talk to people, get to know what they're going through. I'm always working through patterns, finding, you know, things that are possibly in the way. And, you know, the shortest answer to all that is help people get out of their own way a lot of times. So
that's true.
Yes, we are our own biggest stumbling block, aren't we? Yes. And I'm a part of it. You know, we're all the same, basically. And we just have to learn to, I don't know, accept greatness. You know, that we
yes.
can be great,
mm-hmm.
Seth? We have about 30 seconds or a minute.
Yeah, a key word or phrase that Mike was using throughout that we've really honed in on and developed is take it. Now, I was one of the best, and I was a swimmer, and I started when I was 14, and within 6 years, I was one of the best. And so I was in that moment of, if you want to win, you have to take it. And that's what Mike has been saying. I took it. We took it. So it's a really powerful transition that people go through. And you have to think about winning. Do you want to win? We're not just going through the motions. We want to win.
Yes. And you know, you have to be willing to accept that you're good enough to win. A lot of people aren't able to, you know, get even that concept, even though we think we are. It's wonderful. Wonderful talking with you, Seth Pepper. Thank you for being on the show, and we'll have to talk again soon.
Yes, thank you for having us both.
Absolutely.
That was wonderful. Thank you, Mike.
Mike.
Thank you, Danielle.
Mike
thank
Darby,
you,
you're awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show with me. Thank you. Aloha.
Anytime. Thank you.
Aloha. So, folks, are you stumped? No idea what to give for a great friend who seems to have everything because they get themselves everything they want? Well, surprise them with a Poipube gift certificate, home of the Grand Slam of Golf for years. Hawaii watched Tiger Woods play Poipube, Kauai South Shore gem. We loved it year after year. Everyone at the golf club wants a gift certificate from Poipube. Whenever we have one to give away, the phone lines light up. And we have a winner. We do have a winner. Here comes the Sony Open PGA Tour Stars. Hit Wailea January 10th to the 16th. Get up close to the action. Register to volunteer. SonyOpenInHawaii.com. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters. You know about flood disasters. My goodness gracious, don't we? You need help from MD Restoration. Put their phone number on your fridge just in case something. 528-3434. 808-528-3434. Aloha Power Equipment's new megastore across from Home Depot's Iwile parking structure on Alakava in Iwile. You'll find all of the fabulous presents. I was thinking prizes you'll possibly find. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.